The Creator Life is sponsored by the company Cebu. It's a co-working space that fosters creativity and collaboration, all while getting things done. Check them out in their two locations, Mandaue and Cebu IT Park. You can also take advantage of their other spaces in Japan, Singapore, Bangkok, and Hawaii if you become a member. Get 50% off on a day pass or flexi pass when you use the code CREATORLIFE50. That's CREATORLIFE50 for 50% off on a day pass or flexi pass in the company Cebu. For more info, check them out at thecompany.ph and their social media channels on Facebook and Instagram at the company Cebu. Thank you so much to the company Cebu for sponsoring the podcast. The Creator Life is also powered by Ambidexter, a digital content marketing company. They offer various services such as graphic design, content writing, media relations marketing, and many more. Ambidexter will launch a weekly AmbiBlog series which features different podcasts based in the Philippines. I'm really grateful to be part of this series and I hope you'll check the feature when it comes out. Check out their socials, visit their website, or shoot them an email for more information in the show notes. Thank you so much, Ambidexter. On with the show! So at this point, it's like 13 days before Christmas when we record this. So what are you planning to do? Or what did you plan to do during Christmas? Like, I'm sure you had something in mind, like, not this month, probably a while back.
Well, I say, yeah, still creating content because I guess this is the time that I'll be able to focus on it because I have a day job and there are some things that I wanted to close off before the year ends. I'm currently doing a personal finance course. It's like a free step-by-step course on how to prepare for a better 2021 financially. So I'd like to, be able to complete the remaining episodes I'm planning for.
Yeah. And then I think for me, for this episode, in case you're listening to this, this is the last episode of season 3. I'll be taking a break for a month or two. Depends. Because, yeah, I'm not going to say how I do the creative process, why I decide to take breaks and stuff, but basically is, yeah, I'm going to take a break from the podcast so that I'll be ready for the next season, which is next year, of course, because, you know, we're in the end of 2020. So what do you think of 2020? Was it mostly a challenge? I mean, to be fair, it's mostly a challenge for everyone, but for you, what did you think it was?
Yeah, so first off, I just want to say I'm honored to be the last episode for the year, Julian, and I wish you luck in your, like, maybe soul-searching process for your next season. Yeah, and I hope that through this podcast, I'm also able to maybe spark some questions to you to help you plan for your next season. But for 2020, I would say that it's been difficult, but I would also consider it as a win year. So for me personally, I've just started vlogging this year at the height of the pandemic back in April. I have been blogging for the past 5 years already, but finally I've hit the plug this year and decided, okay, I'll go on video. And that was really because I also wanted to help my community further. I am an advocate of personal finance and financial literacy for Filipinos. And I guess for me, I've managed to achieve that, go closer to my purpose. And yeah, as of right now, I have 1,000 subscribers in my YouTube channel. I didn't expect to reach this milestone before the year ends, but thankfully, with all the support as well from the community and with my fellow creators, I've been able to reach this milestone. So, despite everything that's happened for the year, I want to look at it on a positive light and focus on what we've all achieved despite all the hardships. So, I think not only for myself, I think I speak for most Filipinos that we've gone through so much for the year, like the pandemic, the Taal eruption, and a lot of other concerns like typhoons. But again, not to romanticize the Filipino resiliency, but we are really a strong nation.
Someone's been listening to an episode or two. Anyway, yeah, this wasn't actually the actual start, so I'm gonna start the episode in 3, 2, one, go. Welcome to The Creator Life, a podcast that makes sense of how different creators live. I'm Julian Sibi, that's Sibi, and I'm really grateful that you're listening to the show. New episodes are on Fridays and bonus episodes pop up on Mondays or Wednesdays. If you haven't already, subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Anchor, Google Podcasts, and anywhere you're listening to podcasts. You can leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, that really helps the show a lot. And if you can, but still, we need to be mindful with our money because we shouldn't be sending needlessly, especially at this tough time. But if you can, support me on Patreon. That's patreon.com/JulianCB. So as I mentioned up top, yes, this is the last episode of season 3. I will be taking a break to reflect, to prepare for the next season. So until then, I might pop up in the feed and say, hi, how are you? How's your day? Kidding, I'm not gonna do it every time. That's so weird. So my last guest for season 3, so for this episode, it's Maven of Maven and Money in the YouTube chat, in YouTube. So welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Julian. It's an honor again to be the last for your series this year. And hello to all of the listeners of this podcast.
Yeah. So we kind of got a bit into it during the cold open. So it's fine. Like, I wanted to start with something kind of not related, but still related, like to start the conversation and not like make it so awkward when we actually do the actual interview, even though it's still the case. So yeah, I'll start. You've kind of touched on it in the beginning, but yeah, what made you want to start a YouTube channel? What went through your mind when you say, okay, I'm gonna start it, besides the whole I have nothing to do during this pandemic blah 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 thing, because that's basically everyone's catalyst for starting something new, apparently.
Yeah, I echo that as well. So yeah, there was a time that I was really bored. I was just, you know, on my laptop every day, all day, because of work. And then after work, you binge on Netflix, you check the news, and it's all in front of your screen. But moving backwards a bit further, I have been blogging since 2015. Under ithecorporateslave.wordpress.com. So that was previously where I lurk in the internet.
Lurk.
But yes. But yeah, I guess before it's more focused on my work as a corporate slave and how I'm trying to climb up the corporate ladder, but also partially about finances. So this year I wanted to focus on finances or personal finance, because I think the pandemic also made us more aware how important it is to be able to manage money properly for times like this, when life is really hard and there are uncertainties that we have to be prepared for. So back in April, I was thinking that previously I was hesitant to go into YouTube because data is so hard in the Philippines, right? It's so expensive, and it's not that reliable. So I was thinking before, like, are people really going to be on YouTube, especially Filipinos, because of the constraints of data? But I realized that a lot of people are already watching. Probably they're interested really in seeing people face to face and not just, you know, reading or listening. I am a podcast fan. Ooh. Don't get me wrong, but I think some others are more interested in seeing faces behind everything. So that's what triggered me to start a YouTube channel and explore further and share more of what I know in terms of personal finance.
Wow. So it's what I'm hearing. It's like basically everyone else, like, oh, I'm bored. I want to do Netflix. I'm going to lie down. I'm tired of work today. So I'm just going to binge Netflix. Sometimes that routine, that monotony gets so boring, which is like, for me in general, for me, like, working from home has been a struggle. So yeah, getting those thoughts randomly is like, okay, I'm bored, I'm gonna do Netflix, and then like that gets boring. So like, I like that you pondered on it, and then there you have a YouTube channel now. So talk about that more.
Yeah, so that time, yeah, I was like binging on Netflix, and then I really tried to stop myself. So I stopped being on screen for so long. So when I started my YouTube channel, I was doing it on pen and paper. So I'd list down like things that I want to talk about, and list also the script that I want to share for my episodes. So everything was handwritten, and that was my way of taking some time off the screen, because I've been spending so much time on it, and like my eyes start to hurt. Aging is real. But yeah, so when I've laid out all those plans and I've felt a bit more confident, that's when I started my YouTube channel. So as a personal finance enthusiast, one challenge that I also made a point of is to not spend anything as I start this YouTube channel. So I'm also someone who tends to like start something and then gets tired of it and then just ends without really achieving anything. So my solution to that is really challenging myself to start things with no cash out first. So like, for example, people would tend to say buy a new pair of shoes if they want to start being healthy and maybe running or doing some sports. I don't do that because I think I'll just spend the money and then never get to do what I wanted to do anyway. So I challenge myself to start what I want to do first and then invest on like the equipment and other stuff later on. So right now, I've been doing everything on my own. Like the thumbnails, I just use Canva for free.
Oh, yeah. And
yeah, I'm shooting using my company phone. It's a Huawei Nova 3i, and it's been really reliable so far. So I think the quality of the video is fine. The sound is good. And I'm also editing using a phone app. So it's called InShot for those who are planning to also maybe start a channel. It's also free, and it's just in my phone because I can't install anything also on my laptop because it's a company laptop and I don't have a personal one. So that's how frugal I am. And yeah, I hope that also inspires anyone to start a YouTube channel without spending on anything. So it's not that hard, guys. You just have to be resourceful.
Yeah. Like, literally, people start YouTube channels either through, like, back in the day when YouTube wasn't really a thing, like, they would just be using, like, personal camcorders. Do you know? Are you familiar with camcorders? They're, like, dedicated video cameras. So it's not even a phone. So they'd be using their own video recording device. And it's not even a phone yet. Phones weren't a thing, like, when YouTube was starting out. So it's amazing that now we could just, like, get the phone somewhere lying around or get things that you already have with you. Maybe if there's one thing that I wanna recommend for people starting out on YouTube, get a tripod. Like, seriously, get a tripod because it's gonna make your life way easier. You don't wanna be doing all the vlog style, like, you're just doing it handheld. So, stuff like that. Although, it depends with your content. Like, if you're the vloggy type person, like, you, like, hello, this is my day, blah, blah, blah. Although, that format's getting boring. That's being honest here. So, yeah. Things like that. So,
yeah.
It's amazing, like, how resourceful people can be on when starting new things. So, so you, what's a good thing and a bad thing that you've experienced when doing YouTube?
Yeah, actually, I know you sent this question over to me for a guiding point, but I wanted to expound on the question actually. Like, what specifically are you asking about when it comes to YouTube?
Let's just say the experience, like, dealing with when you up your process, like how you upload, or like what do you do before and after uploading, like do you share it or stuff. It's like the whole process, because it's the process that I'm curious whether there's a good thing about it or there's a bad thing about it.
Okay, I guess yeah, as I mentioned earlier, I think the good thing about YouTube is, of course, the format. It's video. It's, I think, more relatable to people because they can see you. And I think there are some research about that, that people tend to gravitate towards personalities when they see your face. And I think that's one of the benefits of being a personality, if you may say so, in YouTube. A bad aspect is that also, of course, that's also kind of a bad aspect. There's a flip side to it because, like, people will sometimes also judge you based on who you are, what you look like. So it's like imperative for you to also look presentable on screen. And then I guess for other bad aspects of YouTube, maybe on the side of, like, really having to be entertaining as well in some aspect, because it's hard to just be, you know, informative or educational in YouTube because people will tend to, like, opt out of the video soon because I think it's been like a culture in YouTube that you have to be entertaining. Although it's actually fun when I do that myself, it's fun to, like, search for free background music, and also to, when you're editing the video, you put on so much stickers and GIFs to make it fun. So I also have fun while doing that, but at the same time, at the back end, it's so difficult, like, spending additional time. You would think that having good content is enough and doing all the research is enough, but then you get to the editing stage where you need to really put additional stuff to make it interesting, and it takes a lot of time actually, guys. So yeah, if there is an investment to YouTube, it's really time, I would say.
Yeah, like, that's probably why I've been avoiding YouTube for the longest time because I already have a tech blog. So yeah, I started out as a tech blogger like almost 5 years ago. Wow, that was so long ago. And now I have a podcast that I maintain. So doing both of them is hard in itself. I still have to do social media. So yeah, like you, I'm a one-man team. So I do everything from social media to writing the stuff to editing this podcast. So that in itself is hard enough. And then if ever I want to get into YouTube, that's gonna eat up more and more of my time. So
yeah,
I am so worried that by introducing another thing, I would sacrifice the quality of all of it, which is really hard to do, to keep that quality while putting in the work, like all the new stuff. So that's why I think it's an excuse for me, but you know, it's how I deal with it. So yeah.
Yeah, you do you, of course. Like in the end, if you're not comfortable with a certain format, you focus on your strengths and what you prefer. Like for me, I also like podcasts because I can just focus on it, listen on the background while maybe doing my 9-to-5 job. And I don't need to like be on screen or have a separate screen to watch that. So for me, it works. But yeah, for some others, it doesn't. So just focus on what you're good at and what you think will work for you. And yeah, we just try to be the best at that.
Yeah, that's all I can do for in that aspect, you know, unless time's on my side in a way. So like I got to see your channel and your accounts because of a certain common person that we know who is Charm of Ready to Adult PH. So like how did you get to meet her? Like how were you able to collaborate with her? Because like yeah, and I think it was recently that she got, yeah, let's not talk about her, it's your time to shine. So yeah, so how were you able to like collaborate with her? Because yeah, that's something interesting.
Yeah, so Charm and I haven't really personally met. We just met through YouTube because we do have like similar contents in terms of personal finance. And yeah, I guess when I started YouTube, I wasn't familiar as well with the other creators in my field of topic. And maybe I knew the ones who are really veterans on this area, like Chinky Tan, for example. And then as I made videos, I don't know if it's also the YouTube algorithm doing that, but that's when I also got more connected with other smaller channels that are talking about personal finance. And yeah, I guess I just saw Charm's video in my feed one day. And of course, I was also curious to connect with other people who are doing a similar content as mine, like get to know their style as well. For me, it's also more interesting because, again, some of the veterans are also different in terms of age or generation. So it's hard to relate to their style. So I was also looking for creators who have like the same voice as mine. And yeah, I found Charm, and that time she was doing this whole series about adulting. It's really interesting because like she's covered all of the topics that you'd want to maybe deep dive further in terms of adulting. Like there's branding, there's like a political talk. So it was really interesting. And yeah, it's great to see another Filipino relatively young content creator for personal finance in the Philippines. So yeah, we just really started to connect, and also with the other creators. And I think we have the same visions as well for our channel. So that's really great to have the support of these fellow creators.
Yeah. And it's amazing that a similar thing is happening with personal finance on YouTube. Because, yeah, maybe I've seen some of them. But I think it's just lately. I don't know. It's in the past. I don't know if it's last year. Just like lately, like especially after the pandemic where people are now basically more conscious of what they spend and what they're doing with their money. So like why do you think people would gravitate towards like content on like personal finance? Is it because like people don't really know? Because sometimes that's a factor.
Yeah, actually, I would disagree that people gravitate towards our kind of content because I actually think they don't. Like, I think most of us are still more into like entertaining vlogs. I don't know, maybe life's just too hard and people need an outlet. But for those who do gravitate towards money and personal finance, I think there is already the intention beforehand. They already know that they have to do something about their money situation. That's why they are looking for content that deals with this. And yeah, that's really great to know. I hope actually that more people get triggered to start having a healthier relationship with their money, because I feel like sometimes we don't think it's important unless we get into trouble and finally realize that, oh, I need to do something about it. But I echo what you said also, that maybe they also are looking for it because there's nothing in, say, for example, our educational system that deals with financial literacy. I wasn't taught about all of this back in college or high school or primary school. I've learned about all of this through the internet back during the time that I was broke. So there was that trigger point. And yeah, it's not something that we also talk about within the family. You'd be lucky if you have friends who talk about money, because they will also inspire you and push you to be more responsible in terms of money. But generally, yeah, I think there is a gap in terms of discussing about this topic. And that's also my aim for my channel. So if you'd notice, if you've maybe browsed through some videos, or for those who know of my channel, I really try to make it a point to share as much as I can transparently. So I do share my net worth on my channel. I also sometimes discuss about real life scenarios of purchases or spending and my thought process behind it, because that's what I'm really aiming for transparency, for people to be able to relate to the content that I'm sharing, so that it also becomes a normal discussion in our everyday life. Because I think we always consider money as a taboo topic, but it shouldn't be. I think we should be discussing it more frequently, so that it becomes a part of daily conversations. And I think through that, that's also how we're able to give more importance on it, make people more aware of how significant money is in our lives, and do something to really manage it.
Yeah, like I agree. Like in my case, the only reason why like I'm basically conscious with my money, because you know, if your parents work at the bank, like at least one of them work at the bank, then of course you would be tangentially aware by default. So it's things like that where you're aware, but it's still kind of taboo, like for people. I don't know. I don't really get why people are afraid of talking about money. Is it peer pressure? Is it shame when you have like a low amount of money compared to someone else. It's like it still boils down to like how people perceive money in a way. It's like our when we talk about money, it's like what's the first thing you react? Like okay, let's talk about something else or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know. It's probably something ingrained in our culture, and as you said, I think there's that notion that money is evil. When in fact, money is nothing but a tool, really. And we are in control of money. That's the should-be situation. But a lot of times, people tend to be controlled by their money. So that's the thing that we also want to change.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, especially like, it's funny that we decided to record on a day when it's 12:12.
Oh yeah.
It's very funny. Yeah, so
how ironic.
Very ironic. But then like is that a good thing like to be watching out for like sale like 11:11 or 12:12, or should it be the case where if you have the money to spend like let's say I want to buy this, should I have been saving more than that so that I would be worthy of buying something? I think that's a nice attitude to go about it when you're doing things like shopping online.
Yes, I totally agree. So I don't think it's proper to like when there's a sale, you look for something that you want to buy. So it should be the case that you already have something you're planning to spend for, and then anticipate the sale so that you get the discounts. But if you're spending just because there is a sale, then I think that's totally wrong, because you're not really getting the discounts. You're not really saving anything if in the first place you're not supposed to buy that, so you're still spending. And I think there's also this there's also this twisted thinking that I've read recently that like, come on guys, let's spend this 11:11 and this 12:12 to help the economy recover. I mean, of course that's true. When you spend, you help the businesses to gain more profits. But I think that we shouldn't use it as an excuse to spend. So having a sale isn't an excuse for us to spend. I think there should be the intention first that you really plan to buy on something. And saving, on the other hand, also helps the economy in some case. Like when you save, that money gets to be used by the businesses for them to expand and innovate. So there's also that impact in the economy. So it's not always one-sided that when you spend, you help. You also help when you save. Yeah.
Yeah. And then like, it really helps if you've already planned it out. Like, you know, there's something there. Like, let's say, here's a common example. Because like, by the time I recorded this, like a certain smartphone has just been open for pre-order. It's been a day now. And then like, if you planned it properly, then you know you're gonna spend for it. Then you already had it in the back of your mind like months ago. Like, I'm looking forward to this gadget or this thing. So I'm gonna save up for it until, so that when the time comes, I'm ready for it. I don't wanna like, oh my god, it's here. So what can I do in a hurry to get it right away? So it's really not healthy to just be like, oh, a new thing again. No.
Yes, definitely. So there is a term for that. I don't know if you're familiar with it. It's called sinking funds. So the concept is basically you plan what you want to buy and when you want to buy it, and then you save up ahead of time to get that fund ready for when you want to purchase that item already. So that's basically the concept of sinking fund. And I also try to do that. I mean, I've been more diligent about it before. I guess things are like more flexible now in terms of my finances. So I'm not so diligently doing sinking funds now. But like, for example, I want to buy a tablet for Christmas. Then yeah, I try to save up for that months before. And then when there's a sale for Christmas, say for example, you saved up 20,000 for that thing. And then come December, there's this 12/12 sale and it's now 20% off. Then that's when you actually save like 4,000 because of that sale.
Yeah.
Mm.
And it like when you think about it, like you're saving for something. So you're already expecting like a certain amount. You're not gonna think like of the sale price already. You're thinking of like the regular price or like the target price you're actually aiming for. So when you find deals like sale, like this cashback I'm hearing where it's like 5% on everything, it's like, what? Mm-hmm. That's nuts. So things like that, then that's when you save money, not when you like randomly buy. I don't like randomly buying, but I tend to be guilty of that sometimes. I don't know why. But yeah, I'm actually more conscious of what I spend. Like if I want something, it's definite. I don't like randomly buy stuff just for the sake of buying.
True.
Yeah. Well, my issue is I'm a tech blogger and sometimes you want to review stuff and companies don't send you stuff, so you end up buying it. But like if you know your strategy, like you have a thing in place where you actually make use of, let's say I'm done using the phone for like, because I'm only ending up using a phone for like a week or two for review. So what happens is I could sell it na lang instead of ano, just letting it sit there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So things like that. But yeah, generally I don't randomly buy unless I actually like it's an actual need. Like I kind of need another mic now, but because of our situation, like I'm just holding it off because like when am I gonna record in person again? I don't even know yet. So stuff like that. So one more thing before we get to the Ask Me Anything session. What should, like, do you have any tips for like people to with regards to their finances when planning for like next year, like 2021? Like what are the few things that you want to tell people with regard to that?
Mm-hmm. I guess first of all, what I want to say is you really have to start with your intentions in mind. So I am a yoga enthusiast. I mean, I'm not good at it, but I like yoga. And when I started taking classes for yoga, I realized that when we start the class, the teacher always tells us to set our intentions for the exercise that we're going to be doing. And at first, I was taken aback by that because like, Why do I need to set my intentions? I just came here for the exercise. But when you think about it deeper, you'll realize that there are more reasons behind why we do what we do. So for example, for that yoga exercise, in the back of my mind, my intention was really to take a break outside of work to clear my mind so that I'm more prepared to go back and finish what I've been doing and yeah, complete it. So there's always that intention, but people sometimes are quite subconscious about that. And it's hard to be subconscious of our whys because that means it's not that strong. I mean, the desire is weak because it's just in your subconscious. So in everything that we do, I think it's important to set our intentions first and be clear about that, because that will be your anchor. That will be what will drive you to proceed further. And that's what you always go back to in times of doubt. So yeah, first is really to set your intentions, what you want to achieve by trying to sort out your finances. Because while everyone has to sort out their finances one way or another, everyone has a different purpose for doing that. So it's important to get to know your real purpose first, and that will be the start of everything else. So if I have just one tip, that's it. But for other stuff as well, like if you want more guidance, then I would say one other thing is to learn from what we've been through in 2020. So again, as we've mentioned at the start, 2020 has been hard. And I think a lot of people have realized how important money management is this year. And let's not just walk away from that lesson, because I guess people would also tend to forget things that are painful. Like, we just want to move on from that as quickly as we can. But then everything that we've been through will become futile as well. So it's important to take the lessons from 2020 and keep that in mind when you also plan what you want to do for 2021. Like, maybe start an emergency fund. Maybe, as you've mentioned, stop buying things needlessly, because I guess a lot of us also realize that we don't really need a lot of things. Like, for example, for myself, like, my wallet's like tearing off because I hardly use it anymore. And like, I have pairs of shoes that I don't use. Like, I just use like a pair of sandals when I need to go for a grocery, and that's it. So yeah, take that as a lesson as well when you go into 2021. And finally, just have a plan. So as you've mentioned also earlier, like, when you buy things, you have to plan that ahead of time, because we are generally flawed as humans. So as we say, right, like, to err is human. And that's really true. And that's why we need to plan, to have a detailed guideline of how we want to achieve our goals. So if we set our why during the setting of the intention, the plan is the how, on how you're gonna achieve that goal. So it should be as detailed as you can. It should be achievable as well. And hopefully that will be your like roadmap to make sure that you are progressing step by step towards achieving your goals of sorting out your finances for 2021.
Yeah. Like, just make sure you have something. I think the best way you plan for something is if you put it in writing. Just don't keep it in your brain, because it will just go away. just write it down. Like, fine, if you don't want to write it on a pen or a paper because you're environmentally conscious, blah, whatever that means. Okay, put it in your phone. But make sure you will get to it. Like, that's the reason why you wrote it down or something. Because you want to get it done.
So are you more a writing person too? Like, even though you're a techie, you also prefer to write things down?
No.
Okay. So writing, like, virtually also, typing.
Yeah, typing. Yeah, but I feel that I really have to write in physically. Because sometimes when you write it on the notes app or like let's say something on your computer, your phone, you will tend to forget it, because it's just like in your phone, so you will think that it's just in your phone, and then you'll forget about it. Whereas if you write it down like with pen and paper, like you have an intention of doing it, like you have the feeling of the intention of doing it, rather than just like, okay, I'm just gonna type this there.
Mm-hmm.
It's more of a tactile.
Sometimes I guess it's
thing. Yeah,
there's the muscle memory also that I remember that my hand did something.
Yeah. Like we always say with muscle memory, like my hand does things by itself. No need to contact the brain for that. So kinda sounds weird when you think about it, but like it's how we think about things like that. So okay, we're in the point where you can ask me anything. I use this platform to get how people ask questions, and then I use it myself to formulate questions like in the best way I can based on what I've learned from people asking questions. So go for it.
All right, I've prepared for this because I know you've been asking this for the past episode. So yeah, I have a few questions prepared for you because I know you're a techie, and then I also have questions in terms of personal finance. So to kind of just start the plug in terms of tweaking your brain in terms of personal finance.
Go for it.
So for the techie side, so okay, so I'm quite not young anymore. I mean, I'm 31, to be transparent. So I feel like I'm not the techiest person nowadays. Like back in college, I was one of the more techie people in our class. Like I would edit videos and do that sort of stuff for our orgs. But nowadays, I feel like I'm lagging in terms of like techie knowledge. So as a techie yourself, like what tips would you say help you to keep up with the times in terms of the new advances in technology? Because there are a lot.
Yeah, there are a lot. Like tech has become so big to the point that like it encompasses everything now. Like I can't imagine a business in 2020 not thinking about digital anymore, especially with the pandemic of I can't go outside and go to a store. So I have no choice but to do digital. But then like some industries take more time to do so, and then there are some industries that can't really do digital because of the nature of their work. Like construction, you can't just simply ask robots to build the stuff, although I may have given an idea already as to how the future will pay out. Not good. But basically, for me, I try to not overwhelm myself with all of it, because while, for example, right now in my blog, I only focus on consumer tech. So that's like what? Phones, that's like laptops, that's like tablets. Although I personally myself check out like very fringe parts of technology. If I see that it's like not really relatable, as like for me, I'm a tech creator, so I share it on my blog. If I feel that it's too nitty-gritty, like too deep, like I don't really write about it, because it's gonna be an overwhelming task for people who aren't necessarily techie. So for me, I keep up by myself. Like I keep up with, I basically read every day. That's like the one thing I've learned how in doing the tech blog and like being passionate about tech. I just read about it. Like if I see a random article that piques my interest and it's tech, then I read about it. I take my time reading about it, because sometimes when we read articles these days, we just take like what? 5, 10, 15 seconds, then okay, it's off to the next one. Whereas most of the very interesting tech that are being talked about are deep dives. Like, it would take a while for me to finish. Like, thanks to my decreasing attention span, I would like skip a bit and then go back to it. But I make sure I go back to it. So like keeping up is just like reading. Reading really helps. And of course, watching the typical YouTube video. Tech is a very big niche in YouTube. So much so that you really have to be specific with what kind of tech you want to talk about on YouTube. Or like what you're interested in. Because even that sub-niche of tech is very, there's full of people there. So, things like that.
All right. Okay, I think I'll do that for myself. Like, maybe find a new subscription about tech.
Yeah.
Because, I guess I haven't been reading so much.
Yeah. Like, for me, I subscribe to as many tech YouTube channels. One, because I'm a tech creator, so kind of have to. But then, like, I want to get the opinions of as many people as possible. Because, like, at the end of the day, we're people. We have preferences. We have biases. No matter what people say that they're unbiased, they have their preferences. And it will show in their reviews. Like, you can be objective, but still, the biases will come out. Because people have biases in general. So,
yeah,
it'll show. So don't just stick to one. Yeah.
Okay.
It's not a relationship when gathering information. Okay, that's it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So the next question is for myself also, because I am actually working for a kind of tech startup, and the reason behind that is I want to dip my toes further into the world of tech because, that's the thing nowadays. So what tips would you share for someone who's looking into shifting to the tech industry? Like, I don't know, maybe a suggestion of like, what courses should I take or like a mindset shift? So any tips for someone who's looking into shifting to the tech industry.
Okay, so a little background. This is like my current job is my only job yet, like my first and only job. And so technology has been a part of my life since high school, if I'm not mistaken. So like, tech. I've always loved tech, and I still love tech, even though some parts of it are getting scary. Yeah, in my opinion, they're really getting scary. But if you're looking to shift towards the tech industry, first, you have to be passionate about it. Like, BS detectors in tech are so obvious. They're so high. Like, you have to really want it. Like, you have to really be passionate about it. You can dip your toes into it, but then it should be something you're passionate about, in my opinion. Like, okay. there's a lot of things about tech that take a lot out of you. Like, it's hard work. I mean, to be fair, tech is not just like programming. It's not just about like making the programs and everything. There's a lot of aspects into it. But basically, getting into tech means you're really passionate about it. You really believe in tech. Even despite its bad things, especially the recent things I've been reading about when it comes to big tech. Like, big tech is really being heavily scrutinized now. So, So keep that passion there. You can dip your toes into it, but at the end of the day, you have to make sure that you want to be in tech to be, let's just say, you'd be more effective if you're really into it.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's a good insight because I think for the longest time I've been looking at it at the practical perspective that it is the in thing right now, not considering if I'm actually passionate about it. So that's something to think about.
Yeah.
But so leading to my next question, I guess, how many questions do I have actually? How many questions can I ask?
You can do 5, 6. Actually, I don't really have a hard limit unless the episode gets too long. But
okay.
Yeah. I've had episodes for 1.5 hours, so it's fine. So
Okay.
Keep going.
All right. I guess I still have time. So yeah, so just to continue on with our topic about shifting to the tech industry, I guess I don't have like a concrete passion for it right now, but one thing that's also piquing my interest on it is the fintech specific aspect. Yeah. Because I am like a fan of personal finance. So what are your thoughts about the fintech space, and like, are you a fintechie also? And yeah, what's your experience so far?
Am I a fintechie? Well, I find it very interesting that it took a long time for the Philippines to get into fintech or anything related to that. Like, it's only, I think it was just like last year or this year that like mobile payments, or like, I think it's this year that made it very, very popular to have like mobile payments, cashless options, because you know, you don't want to be handing cash to people anymore because you know, pandemic. So it's become a big thing for me to just not worry about what's in my wallet, like in my physical wallet. I'm glad we're making that shift. Fintech is very interesting because at the end of the day, money is just numbers, and numbers is something that tech is really, really good for, like doing numbers and stuff. But it's more than that. There's a lot of technology going into to fintech that's not necessarily money. Yeah, it's not necessarily money related. It's more of security now, because practically speaking, if we're talking about money, you have to make sure that you don't lose it. So security is very important. Privacy is very important. You don't want random people to be snooping on your money. So things like that. So there's a lot around it that I'm really interested in. Although practically, see, I don't really focus that much into fintech because there's a lot of aspects going to it that are not tech related, like money and how financial systems used to work before and how it's changing now. So I'm not really into that yet. Maybe I will if the right topic comes to mind and if it's right. Because I think you've heard of blockchain, right? Have you heard of blockchain?
Yep.
Yeah, that's basically the most pop. That's like one of the more popular terms, blockchain or Bitcoin. Like, I'm really curious about cryptocurrency, like how it works. Like, yeah, there are ideas. Like, I know the basic thing, but like, why people really go into it, cryptocurrency. So like, I'm still not completely sold because it's fully digital. Like, you won't actually see like a physical manifestation of it, other than a value in the app or something. So there's questions to that. I'm kind of 50-50 with when it comes to money. Like, on one hand, I love that it's going cashless, but at the same time, I worry about like security aspects of it. That's my take.
Yeah, I think that is the common apprehension of people shifting into cashless or digital money. And yeah, good points. So on security and privacy, yeah, I do think those are the important things that the fintech industry should solve so as to improve the trust for those users.
Yeah. But like, for me, I think the younger generation are more willing to get into like cashless options. Like, because we're millennials and people after us, or the Gen Z, whatever you call them. Like, we're more open, we're more exposed to technology, especially people who are born into just having technology, not knowing what was the thing before. Like, they only know iPads, they don't know Takyan or some random game in the street. Like, some of them don't even know what that is. So, things like that. Like, people who've experienced it really miss it, but then, yeah. We're like at that middle point where we accept the digital, but at the same time, we kind of miss those old things back then.
Same.
But this is different. Like, you feel, when you play physical games, you feel it. Like, you're doing something. Whereas, when, you know, just being, I don't know, like Candy Crush, although that's a bad example. Play games like Candy Crush and you're just on your phone and you feel like there are lots of things that are still very interesting with technology, like how people deal with technology and how it affects how we deal with other people. Especially now, like, we're so used to Zoom calls. So things like that. How is that going to affect our future interactions with people? Are we going to be more apprehensive of just like meeting in person, or does that still depend on the person's personality? So things like that.
Yeah, there are a lot of factors that contributed to us advancing in terms of tech this year. And I don't know where it's gonna head for the future, but yeah, I guess it's just important to be flexible also. And while we're that generation who's torn between the nostalgia of the life before tech and then now that everything's online, I guess that also means we're more of the flexible generation,
because yeah,
where we can adapt to different situations or scenarios.
But yeah, where there are things that we will most certainly not relate to the generation before us, where they've only like dipped their toes into tech like later in the later years of their lives. So that's a different perspective too. We may be more flexible, but that doesn't mean there won't be any problems going on in that case.
Okay, so I think that's it for my tech questions. I have just like three questions for money matters, and like you can answer them like just answer like your first thoughts that come to mind.
Go for it.
It should be quick. All right. So first is 1 million now or 1,000 pesos every day forever.
Oh, 1,000 pesos every day forever.
Or 1 million now.
Like 1 million now, but then what am I going to like? There's with 1 million now, there's a temptation to just use it all up now, because you get it now. So like, oh, what am I going to do with this? Whereas if I get 1,000 every day forever, I can build onto it, and who knows, it might not just be 1,000, because I'm by the time I be saving all that 1,000 every day forever, then, and if you think about it, not everyone gets 1,000 every day. That's if salary wise, that's a big number. 1,000 a day? Are you kidding me?
True, and you're not gonna do anything to get it.
Yeah, exactly. So I'd rather go for something that is consistent, but then I know I can build on. Like in the near future.
All right. Okay. Noted on that. Okay. So next question. Of course, there's no right or wrong answers to this. It's
a perspective thing.
Yeah. Okay. So next is retire early or retire frequent?
Huh. That's something. Wait a minute. Okay. Retire frequent. Like I don't get the mechanics of retire frequent. I mean, I can kind of see the perspective why you would go retire frequent, but retire early would be nice. Like if you know you're set, then you're set. Then you'd probably find another way to earn more money while you're retired, because you know you can do other things. Like you know, retire. I feel like retirement is such a term, like it's, I don't know, it kind of antiquated for me, in my opinion. Like I see a lot of people who are very successful who retire early and then they randomly just get into another venture just simply because they want to. So it's a thing like that.
Okay. All right, so maybe just to give a bit more context on retire frequent, I've read about it. It's like, for example, you start working when you're at your 20s, and then retiring frequent is like you retire every 10 years. So after working for 10 years, you retire for 1 year, and then you go back into working, and then retire for another year. So I guess the point is just you have a retirement here when you're still really young, but I also don't understand like the full mechanics of it. Like, is it really feasible to stop working?
I mean, is it really retirement? Like, that's why the word retirement to me feels so antiquated, because like retirement, so like when I say that, like, am I not gonna do anything after? There would be kinds of people who are like very restless and would just like find something else to do, and like that's me. Like, I don't want to be not doing anything, because I feel kind of guilty when I'm not doing anything. Although, to be fair, there are days where, like, I want to be lazy. But then there would be days where I don't want to do it for long stretches, because I would feel restless.
Yeah, I think it's just the freedom to choose, I guess, that's the point of retiring, actually.
Yeah. But, you know, that word. We should find another word for retiring.
Yes, agree. Okay, so my final question, because this is something that I'm really passionate about.
Go.
Do you have a sense of how much your net worth is as of today? So no need to share. Just like, do you have a feel of how much your net worth is?
Can I be honest and say no?
Okay.
I just want to be frank and say no, because if I would say yes, then like there would be things that I haven't even thought about with money. So I'm just going to be frank and honest and say no. Otherwise, it'd be lying to myself, and I don't want that. Like the first thing you learn when you like earn money and go through life and anything, like, You would end up at a place where like trying to live an illusion like in your head about stuff. There's a difference between living in an illusion and then like living your dreams. So there's a difference for me. So I would rather just be real with myself and say no rather than like say yes and then like thinking it's like even though it's not. So
yes, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, I value that too, like honesty. I mean, you can say anything you want, but
it shows.
Time will come that it will show. So I'd rather like people just be honest, really.
Yeah.
All right. I guess that's it for me. Thank you so much for entertaining my questions.
Yeah. Like, the reason why I do Ask Me Anythings is really because like I want to be challenged as well. Like I don't want to be the one challenging people all the time with questions. So like at the very least I get challenged by what other people think, or what kinds of questions do they ask, or stuff like that. So that's my viewpoint on that.
That's great.
Well, that's it. This is the end of the episode. This is the end of season 3 as we know it. I might randomly pop up in between, but for the most part, season 3 is done. So thank you so much, Maven, for being in my last episode of season 3. I really appreciate it. You getting the invite, you accepting the invite. I'm really happy about that.
Thank you so much, Julian. This is actually the first podcast that I've been to, so yeah, it's a great end of the year new adventure for me. So I'm honored, and yeah, more power to your podcast.
Thanks. So anything you'd like to plug? You were saying you did those questions about personal finance to kind of start plugging. So yeah, here's your time to plug.
Okay. All right. Thanks. So please do check out Maven and Money on YouTube. I'm talking about savings and investments, career tips, and other life goals. And currently, I'm also doing a series for personal finance. So it's like a personal finance 101 course. It starts with really setting the intentions of why we save money, and then also trying to do expense tracking, doing our budgets, having backup plans, all that emergency fund insurance thing. And for the next episodes, I'm also planning to tackle more about like investment lists, like an ultimate investment list that I've experienced, and also like how to compute for your retirement number until we find that new word for retirement. Let's call it retirement number. So yeah, check it out, guys.
Yeah, that was great. Like, yeah, I don't know when we'll get the new word, but we'll see.
Yep.
Podcast updates and behind the scenes are on social media. That's Creator Life Pod, Creator Life POD on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can also follow me personally and see me take a break, take pictures of random stuff on social media. That's Julian Sibi, JULLIANSIBI on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And that's it for season 3, guys. I hope you enjoyed listening to all of the episodes. I hope you did listen to all of the episodes. Some of them were like nuts. Some of them were like informative. Some of them were fun. And until season 4, guys, enjoy your tech, enjoy your coffee, enjoy life. And stay safe, everyone. There's still a pandemic out there. Wear a mask, please. Bye. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.